And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Off the Hook Overtime here on YouTube. It's Emmanuel. I'm over in YouTube land. How about you, Kyle?
Yes, I'm here and ready to take telephone calls.
All right. And how about out in Signal Land? Rob's not there now. Okay, Gila, are you there? No, they're not hearing us. Alex, can you hear us?
No, not at all. You got to speak up.
Wait a minute. How the hell are you answering me if you can't hear me?
What did you say?
No, you're messing with me, aren't you?
I've never done that. Why would I ever mess with you?
God damn it. All right, Rob, Gila, what's your excuse?
Sorry, we had our volume down, and it is no longer down. Hello.
You've muted yourself. You've turned your volume down. I mean, what's going on? Do you want to do radio? Do you want to be on YouTube? Because there are plenty of people who want to be on YouTube that are waiting to get on YouTube. And honestly, I'm waiting to get off YouTube. I've had it. Okay, so here we are. This is the post-hope YouTube edition of Off the Hook, sometimes known as Overtime.
Yes, and we sound good on YouTube.
Do we? Okay, well, that's up to the listeners to decide, I guess.
We're on YouTube, though. We're audible on YouTube. And speaking of YouTube, greetings to the 28 people who are with us right now. And we have a comment from Samuel Broomer 7998. This help was great. I'm really appreciative and understand all the hard work and prep that went into the same. Thank you. Rebel enjoyed Hope. And Larry Kieber says, I wish I could have gone this year. I've stayed at the New Yorker before and liked it. I love the TikTok diner and the fact that there is a White Castle nearby. There's everything nearby.
Yeah, there's nothing that's not nearby.
I didn't get to go to the diner this time. I was kind of regretting that.
You can go any time. It's open 24 hours.
Yeah, I think I might have to make a special trip.
Yeah, it's not really a special trip. You hop on a train and you basically crawl to it from where it lets you off. It's not hard.
2:30 a.m. grilled cheese.
I did get some of the street tacos that were nearby, and a lot of people enjoyed some of the recommendations that we printed, and we'd love people's ideas of whatever they did. If that worked for them, if they thought it was fun, please include that in feedback as well, because that's how we can kind of list things when people ask, hey, what do I do, or where do I go to get this? And it's a lot of fun to go and check those places out ourselves and, get it all sort of organized so that everybody has options.
Well, in terms of options, I'll tell you, the food was extraordinary. I went to the diner one night, very late, and I'm grateful that it was there. But I think it was Saturday night. I went out to, I believe it was 37. It was 37 to 39, so they're very close to the hotel. And I actually went out for Uyghur food, and it was extraordinary. I mean, unbelievably authentic, you know, served on paper plates in a tiny little spot in the middle of Midtown. And the food wasn't terribly expensive, but was incredibly tasty, really, really good, nice and spicy. And as if that wasn't enough, then we found ourselves later on with the same group of lunatics, actually just a few fewer than were at the Uyghur place. And we were at Koreatown at 2 o'clock in the morning having barbecue. And, yeah, so it was, you know, the culinary options were aplenty. And, I mean, that's like another thing that feels very Gibson-esque in a sense. Feels like a scene kind of right out of Neuromancer or something once you walk into Koreatown and you see the venues on top of venues on top of venues. And, you know, you might have some kind of fourth floor karaoke spot buried on top of a restaurant that's on top of a bar. You know, it's got a great vibe. There's just everything at your fingertips over there. It's a great spot. Glad to hear so many people had an excellent time. I also heard from various people that attended the Joy Bubbles movie that it was really excellent and really moving as well. So, you know, I hope people call in and tell us about their experiences, good, bad, or otherwise. so we can take that feedback and feed it into the next one.
Absolutely. We can't say enough good things about the Joy Bubbles movie. I didn't get to the screening at Hope, but I had been to a local screening two, 3 months ago, I think, that I spoke about on this program, which the director also attended and did a Q&A at. And it is an incredible piece of film. As soon as it's available in any capacity as a home video thing or whatever, I would highly recommend checking it out. If a screening pops up near you, check it out. Whether or not you thought you were interested in the subject matter, I think you'll find it very fascinating.
Yeah, you know, I sat in there for a few minutes, as much as I could spare, and I was transfixed by that film. Just the footage they had and the stories they were telling, it was just something that anyone who's into phones or computers or just the hacker scene would just find it hard to leave the room. I had to leave the room, unfortunately, but I do want to see it. I want to see the whole thing.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. I didn't get to see the other screening, which I wanted to check out, which happened at the movie theater across the street from the conference, but which you could attend if you had a conference badge. I met one of the people who worked with the people putting on that screening, and she was actually online with me when I went to pick up my badges. And she turned to me, and she was not familiar with the event. She turned to me and asked me, "Oh, do you have a film in the festival?" And after a moment of confusion, we kept talking, and I told her about what the event is about, and she's like, the hacker conference. I didn't know that was a thing, and I know nothing about this world. And I said, well, your badge is good for 3 days, so you have plenty of opportunity outside of when you need to be working at the screening to learn what it's about. So I didn't see her subsequently, but I hope she had a good time.
Well, the film that Rob is alluding to is called Reality Games, and I believe this was the New York premiere. It's kind of, kind of a video game thriller, I think is how it's been described. The director, Michael Morgenstern, was there. It showed across the street, across 34th Street at the AMC Theater. And that was pretty incredible. I went over there at the beginning just to, stick my head in. And it was pretty, if it wasn't full, it was close. Let's put it that way. I think it might have been full. And that's really awesome. I'd love to have a hacker film festival. And we have a theater across the street. Why not? We just have to have some people coordinate it. But that could be a great tradition to start. Like I said, there were just so many possibilities in this space, and in the middle of New York City, there's almost nothing you can't do. And, throughout all this, I felt Greg's presence. I really did, because mm-hmm. he always believed we could make it back to New York, the city of Manhattan, that is. We did. And I still don't know how we did it, but we managed. And I'm just so grateful to everybody who was there and who made it special. I hope you got something out of it. And please, again, that email address, feedback@hope.net. We'd love to hear your feelings and opinions. Please, only if you were there, though. I mean, yes, if you weren't there, I mean, if you're a virtual attendee, sure. But if you're somebody who wants to be there but wasn't there, we can hear that, but we can't hear your experiences because you didn't have experiences there. It's not a hard concept. We are going to open up the phone lines in just a few minutes. But just like to give you guys one more chance to add anything else. Gila, it looks like you have something.
I do. So I can't remember now if it was Thursday night or it was Friday. At one point, though, we were in our room at the New Yorker. We were looking through the program book. I was mm-hmm. just flipping through it really quickly just to get started. And I saw the back cover, the inside back cover, and seeing the picture of Greg there just took my breath away for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about time and people and community, and that was such a beautiful thing, and thank you for doing that. And, I think his spirit was definitely infusing everything that was going on. And someone needs to wear their blue zoot suit next year in Greg's honor.
Absolutely. His sister was there.
Yeah.
PK Newby was there. And I mean, that was just so amazing. We met her in Whitehorse last year.
She gave out a bunch of her books, signed books, Food and Nutrition, I believe is what it was called.
Yeah, the talk, we couldn't mention the talk on the radio, but we can mention it here. Ag Shitification, Big Meat Misinformation, and the Fight for the Future of Food. You know, all of these talks are going to be online and available in many ways very soon. We're working on that. We just... Yeah, you might hear it in our voices. We're kind of, worn out. Some of us are even sick.
Stunned.
I mean, let's go around and describe our symptoms. I've had a cough. I've had a hoarse voice. I've had sniffles. I've been getting up every few hours, but sleeping over 12 hours. And just feeling kind of worn out, but also feeling very, very happy. Anyone else got something similar?
Go ahead.
All at once, yes.
Please. Yeah, everybody at once is screaming. I think that's what we did on the procession to Hotel Penn.
We did.
We screamed all of our experiences.
One of my symptoms is I keep interrupting my friends, but no, honestly, my sleep cycle has yet to recover. My energy levels are a little wonky, but slowly getting back into the swing of things and just, a lot of happy memories were made. I still haven't unpacked everything I brought back from the conference. I got some art from our friend Johannes that I'm very excited to put on the wall. How about you?
My eyes won't stay open still, which is, not great. So, yes, it's been a combination of eyes won't stay open, and just smiling a lot. It's a weird combination of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I hear you. Alex, how about you? Struck dumb?
I'm totally struck dumb. Yeah. most of the time I'm.
That might be something else.
Things like come out of various people's mouths for sure. But I was just exhausted. I really was. I mean, I went right from hope to having like a hell of a day on Monday. Too, because it was just an extraordinarily difficult day. So my stepfather had passed away, and about a week and a half before that, and so hope was so all-consuming, and just I think my mind was occupied from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that I didn't think about the fact that on Monday I would be burying my mother, because we were interring the remains of my mother along with my stepfather. So I went from this kind of like totally exhausting weekend, and we had a little bit of a party at our place at the end of Hope that went kind of late, as some people may remember, and then to having to wake up and drive out to Long Island and have like an incredibly emotional day. I honestly have to say, like, I'm drained. I am drained. I'm totally drained. I'm glad I am going to be heading out on vacation soon.
Well, you didn't seem drained on stage, and we all thank you for all the work you put into moderating three different panels. You were only told about two of them. The third one was a surprise. I think it made things flow so much better. And
well, look, it's always a labor of love, and I'll do anything for Hope. It's a conference that there's nothing like it.
Are there ducks by you, by any chance?
There are ducks flying around.
I thought
that.
I heard
you,
ducks.
You hear that? How do you
I
hear that?
I can hear ducks. I'm good at it.
There's ducks. That's not somebody making a duck impersonation.
I just realized you're in Pennsylvania. You're not in New York. So yeah, of course,
that's right.
There are ducks there.
Yeah, there are real ducks here. They're quite noisy too at the moment.
Yeah,
my son is out on the lake. There's deer running past.
Uh-huh.
It's
hell.
It's
utter hell.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah,
and this is not the vacation though. The vacation's coming.
Well, the vacation is coming. Wow. That's true. Yep. That is right. But no, it's, it was, I got to say, one of the things that I loved about it, right, was we also had some friends staying with us that came in for Hope that were also speaking at Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was, every morning was like we were preparing to go to Hope, getting things ready, but preparing our talks. Everybody was working, you know, both my wife, my friend Dan, and me were all in the same apartment, kind of, you know, on top of each other, all preparing for different presentations that we're giving. It was like Hope HQ for three different speakers at our apartment. And it just, it felt really cool.
Yeah.
It did. It felt really cool. It was, in many ways, to my mind, I keep going back to this, but it was like a rebirth of the conference. And to me, I feel exhausted by it, but also invigorated by it. I feel like it has enlivened me in many respects. It's given me more of that spark of curiosity and that fervor to learn back again. Not that I've ever lost it, but this is something I think that, you know, it's like that old adage of Thomas Jefferson, where he talks about tapers and or candles, right? And lighting one candle from another allows you to transfer that light without diminishing your own. And I feel like that's what a lot of the conference was about, was sharing knowledge and transferring knowledge from one person to many, many people in that audience.
He was talking about the right to free copying.
That's right.
Slipping it in early.
Ideas.
And he got it. He understood. He understood what, you know, free software and all that kind of thing. He just couldn't put it into words people would understand back then.
That's right, but I think it's the same. It's the very same concept at Hope of sharing information freely amongst people, and it, not just me, but you know, Rob, Gila, you, Kyle, everybody is so incredibly generous with their time.
Be careful naming people, because when you name people, you're going to forget people, and then you have enemies. And yeah, there are so many people to thank. We've got the best team.
There are so many. Everybody.
Every single part of this was covered in such a professional manner. And
yeah.
I got to say, people have gotten so good at this. I'm not going to say it's easy, but it certainly is smoother than it's ever been. And I'm just so damn proud. And Gila, you have your hand up. It's not cool. You can wave at me. You don't have to raise your hand. Just... Yeah.
Sorry, it's a force of habit. I will say a lot of people super psyched about the ducks, Alex. Thank you. So one listener actually did call you out by name, saying they are so appreciative of you for introducing them to Hope. So thank you for that. People are talking about getting ducks on a hacker radio show, which I enjoyed very much. And I was thinking of one of my favorite moments of the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Was on Friday. And Signs Alex was walking around hanging up additional signage. Not you, but Signs Alex. That's his name, right?
Signs Alex? Signs Alex? Is that his name?
A volunteer who was
volunteer. Who did the signs? The art person.
Chris?
Chris. Crap. Okay, sorry. My apologies.
Okay.
I just was calling him Sign Guy. Anyway, I was standing by the bathrooms because Rob had gone to the bathroom and I was waiting for Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there was the all-gender restroom. So the sign said all-gender and the sign said men. And a lot of people were really, really, really confused by that. So I was standing there directing traffic. And someone stood there and, like, looked at the sign and looked at the sign and looked at the sign. And I said, standing up or sitting down? Uh-huh. And they said, what? And I said, this is an exclusively sitting down bathroom. If you want to do the standing up thing, go that way. And I think that would make really good sense for the nomenclature for, like, next year's signage.
But you can stand up in a gender-free bathroom, can't you?
It's true, yeah.
You can stand up, but there is no plumbing designed specifically for being used exclusively standing up.
You mean urinals? No.
That,
you
there
know,
are no urinals in the women's restroom.
I hate urinals. I think they're barbaric, you know? It's like, it's just, yeah. I'm for their elimination, to be honest. No pun intended.
So, yeah, standing up or sitting down, that was the direction I was given.
Boy, we evolved this conversation a bit. let's try and resurrect it.
Ducks.
Ducks.
Ducks. People are totally on board with the ducks. And
what's your beef with the urinals? I got to ask this. I mean, what honestly, that I can't let that pass into the night like this.
Is that another pun? I don't know. It just seems like you're not giving things the time they deserve. You're just it's like an express lane. I never cared for it. And not to mention the fact, everyone's just like lined up next to each other like cattle. It just feels barbaric, is all.
Okay, hang on. So Rebel just said in the chat, and I quote, "You think that is barbaric? Go to Italy." So I would like us to open the phone lines because I have no idea what the fuck he's talking about. And
maybe he encountered a squat toilet somewhere. I don't know.
I don't think they have it in Italy.
All right, well, we're going to open up the phone lines. The phone number is... Yes, go ahead.
Well, they do have squat toilets in Italy. I've used them when I had a terrible bout of food poisoning that hit me at none other than the Vatican. And I had to use these squat toilets in the Vatican.
Wait a minute.
It was a horrendous time. It was like, you know, God punishing me for you know, many past lives, bad deeds.
You're trying to tell us that the Vatican only has squat toilets? The Vatican?
Well, 20-something years ago, I was literally waiting for this woman to finish cleaning the toilets in the while my stomach is churning and I'm feeling, you know, things are rather urgent, I should just say.
Now, more details. And we need more details.
You need more details.
Absolutely,
than that.
Okay. Yeah. I think everybody is clamoring for that.
It's fantastic. I could, you know, this will be my next article for the magazine. I'll start out in the Vatican with a massive bout of diarrhea, and I was waiting forever for this woman to finally allow me into the bathroom, and I just felt like, okay, I you know, it's gonna finally get this out, and then realized that it was squat toilets in the Vatican. I couldn't believe it. It was a precarious situation, I'll put it that way.
Those musicians out there, if anyone is listening and you're looking for a title for an album, Squat Toilets in the Vatican, you can't beat that. You really can't.
That's right.
It's not a good band name. It's a good album title name, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Have we given out the phone number yet?
We almost did. Then you started with your disgusting story, and then Kyle left the room, and he's the one that controls the phone. So,
okay.
You know, quite a mess here.
But now we need some theories. Like, is the squat toilet preferred in the Vatican because there are so many old men who wear robes fluttering around? And maybe it's optimized for that.
Well, no. Speaking as a person who wears long clothing, dresses, things you have to hold up from the bottom to get to use the bathroom. No. You do not want to be squatting in that. That's no.
Can I just say my one bit of squat toilet trivia is, and I noticed this on trains, in China and Japan, they both have squat toilets, but one faces one way and one faces the other way. I don't know why. But one faces forward, one faces back. It's just, someone else can do the research. I just notice it, that's all.
You know, technically, I did not use a squat toilet in Italy, though.
No, because you're in Vatican City. It's a different country.
That's
Everybody
right.
knows that.
Yeah, it was the Holy City.
For fuck's sake, this is the Post-Hope show, and we're talking about squat toilets in the Vatican. What the hell? What's wrong with us?
Well, we're waiting for the phone lines to be opened.
We're waiting for the level of discourse to improve just a little bit, so Kyle can come back into the room and press the right buttons.
I turned us down the scatological corner. I do apologize.
Let's go back to the ducks, Alex. Where are the ducks pooping?
Mostly on my lawn, I would say. Probably
excellent fertilizer, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I would guess. I don't know. Yeah, mostly on the lawn, on the dock, and all kinds of things. But the they're out there. They're out there in force tonight.
All right, Kyle's back, so let's try and keep the conversation somewhat sophisticated. I think he's earned that much. You know, we never actually got into what Kyle did for the conference because we didn't get into what a lot of specific people did. But I have to say, he took the cake with his ability to pull a network out of nothing, because that's pretty much what we were getting We were either getting nothing or very little for a huge amount. And he thought we could do better. He knew we could do better. He had contacts from 2018 and just reached out to them. They responded. But then there were many, many hurdles to come after that. And if you really want to know the story, the closing ceremonies are the best way to find that out. But it was one of the best miracles I think I've ever seen. It's kind of, thank you. I think it kind of set the tone for the entire conference, knowing we had that victory under our belts.
Oh, yeah. I would say you're welcome. Yeah, it was a priority for me. And it just is the thing that connects everybody. It's the network, right? It's how we get a lot of the stuff out. That's how people like work from home or keep in touch or look into things that they just found out about in a talk. So it's something I joke, like, no one really cares about when it's working, but when it doesn't work or when there isn't something like that, a lot of things that are would have otherwise worked seamlessly become kind of hampered by it. So we also like to show off a little bit and demonstrate what's possible with telecommunications. That's the whole mission, really, is to create understanding, to build something. And it takes a bunch of different people. I've participated in the NOC a lot over the years. That was some of the stuff I was really interested in when I got started with HOPE. And this would be like the 20th year of me going or being involved. And I feel like I've been more involved than ever, sometimes too much. But it really is, it's cool. And I sort of forget about it, being involved with the network crew, because they're so good on their own. But I do try to pull my weight and make those calls when we have to stay on track as far as our schedule and just having something when we really need it. And I really felt like everything just came into alignment at the last minute. It took so much effort, but everyone involved, just that spirit of talking and coordinating and making sure everybody knows what's going on, everything's by the book, everything's set up. You really got to nurture all that. So that was my part with the infrastructure part.
You know, I've been at many conferences where there's been no network 12 hours before the conference begins. And in some cases, they have, managed to work magic. Some cases, not. I think we've always had a network of some sort. Although the first help, I know, was very, very slow or non-existent for most of it. This one, I feel like this was the biggest miracle of all. It really was.
Yeah, it was a real tall order.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the one thing that came through that I'm really present to is our professional contacts. Like, we have a history with vendors and with different entities, and I laugh about it because there's people that I know have switched companies that, you know, promised us a favor and still owe us or something. You know, there's just funny little stories.
That's why they switch companies.
When we were starting out with, like, sponsors and stuff like that, and we really limit that stuff and want to keep it kind of contained, but it's proven to be really, really helpful. Also, stockpiling single mode fiber was
that was a smart move.
Economical thing, something that I learned from going to other events and being overseas, and that really inspired me to do this, as well as being involved with the Forest Service, oddly enough, but like emergency stuff, like where you're where they have to set up a sort of emergency management system. There's always, like, the telephone company shows up and just throws stuff everywhere, and it doesn't look pretty, but it has to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of spirit I really like.
It's a quiet confidence.
Practicing that, yeah. And so that's the part of what I was going to say, the B part, is that, we've done this before. I've done this before, so I kind of know a little bit of what it's like, but I'm not involved all the time, like, in the industry, as it were. Like, it's not my 9-to-5 situation. And despite all of that, I have different ways of thinking about it and adapting to different problems. And I don't know, I think of it as ordering a really, really expensive phone call. What's the most expensive?
I guess that's one way to put it. But, you know, the thing that I hope people get out of this is they see what you accomplished, what you were able to do with virtually nothing at such little time left, you know, to fix the problem. And realize that they, too, have that ability to work magic and just be determined and keep trying, never give up, and never think that you're a failure, even if it doesn't work out, because one way or another, you'll succeed.
Yeah, the alternative was so heart-wrenching.
It was.
To have worked so much, and in the moment, you're like, I wasted time. People are wasting my time with this and that. Don't they understand the gravity and just what this means for what I do? Because, you know, it's something that I'm really counting on, and that we, a lot of people, every vendor, every supplier leading up to it is counting on our success so mm-hmm. that we can continue to have those business relationships. So it's all interconnected in that way.
Go ahead, Gila. Then we're really going to open up the phone lines.
We really should. So lot of excitement for Kyle in the chat, how much you do, how much we all see you do, how much we appreciate you. A suggestion from Beans says, the whole story about having to run a cable down the stairwell was amazing. I'd watch a documentary just on that. So as a lot of people in the chat have been programming the Hacker Film Festival for a future hope, I think we may be able to get that in there as well.
So that idea is already taking off. Okay. So
someone did mention doing that. I think Chris wanted to.
I just mentioned it just now.
Chris wanted to. Oh, okay.
I mentioned it years ago, too, but I was dreaming.
Yeah. But so people have a lot of ideas. We did have a question, and this is getting into some history that I don't know the answer to. Was there a time between 1994 and 2007 that Joy Bubbles came to Hope?
I don't think Joy Bubbles ever came to Hope. Joy Bubbles was on Off the Hook once, but I don't think, you know, he could have come without me knowing it, you know.
But it's not like he gave a talk or anything.
No.
Okay.
And that's easy to find out if you just, you know, go to our YouTube channel where all the Hope Talks are stored, or the store where all the videos are stored, and type Joy Bubbles. You probably won't find it because he almost certainly did not give a talk.
And certainly hasn't been there in any time in the last 19 years,
no,
for obvious reasons.
Not being alive, yes.
Right.
Okay, so let's open up the phone lines. As soon as somebody gives out the correct phone number, I will hit the button and the phone line will become active. Who wants to take on this challenge?
Can I do it?
Go ahead. Give it a shot.
Okay, thank you. We welcome your phone calls at area code 802-321-4225, or that's 802-321-HACK.
You're correct. That is the phone number.
Yes, and also, while we're waiting for the phone to ring, I want to share a shout out to Kusanagi. Kept the pace while a little ill, been managing all the volunteers all this time. Cheers, and I believe that's a cup of tea.
From
Mr. Crypt.
Yeah. Oh, you're reading somebody else's shout out, not yours.
I will shout out Kusanagi at any time, any place.
But there are so many other people, too, that you have to include once you start doing that.
I'm just reading from the chat.
Like Lindsay, for instance. I read
like Lindsay Martin.
Okay, now I've started it. You see, it's just, you can't win. There's just no way.
We have a phone call.
We have a phone call. We must stop talking and listen. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, sir.
Sounds like Rebel, but I didn't hear anything else. You okay there?
Yes, you have to listen. Yes, of course.
We're listening. Go ahead.
Oh, I really enjoyed Hope, of course.
That's good to know. It's good to know you. I saw you for a split second, but I was running really fast in the other direction.
Running around, just, you know, doing different things, and, you know, said hello to you quickly. And, you know, of course, I saw you at the, you know, at the closing ceremony. You know, Kyle was another Shrek, but I guess it was worth it for, you know, pulling it off and,
uh-huh.
and you know.
The important thing is that you meet new people and have new experiences and expand your horizons, and I hope that happened for everybody.
Yeah, I met new people, and I enjoyed the Joy Bubbles movie, It reminded me of when he, you know, looked up the last number in the phone book, because it reminded me of when I did that when I was 10 years old, and prank called the person with the last number in the phone book.
Did you ever connect the person with the last phone number with the person with the first phone number?
No, actually, I didn't. No, because the last person, I mean, the person with the last phone number was like some old lady that I used to, like, prank call.
Wow. Well, that serves Mrs. Zulix for having that name in the first place.
I don't know. If you look in the 70s, you know, you'll see.
There was always, you know, in old phone books, I don't know if you ever, you read old phone books frequently, but if you do, the first entry is almost always just the letter A. It's not triple A. It's not eight A's. It's just an A. And I've always wondered, who the hell does that?
I never noticed that.
Well, get a 1970s phone book and you'll see.
Well, go to the New York City Public Library.
I'm telling you to do that.
Like microphone.
Yeah, it's all there. It's all preserved.
Main library. And
You get to tell us one highlight from Hope, then we're going to move on because there are many people that wish to do the same. Go ahead.
Yes. I was at Hope, and I was doing Hackers Got Talent, and of course, I'm sorry I didn't know all the area codes. I was being put on.
You did great, though. You did so much better than so many people would have done, Rebel.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, when you're, you know, in front of people like that, you don't have time to, like, think, like, you know. But, no, I did it, but it was fun, you know, it was just fun, and, you know, like, I think I went to home, I was going to go home, like, right, because I was almost falling asleep after the, after my thing at Help Hackers Got Talent. That was on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that was on Saturday.
Yeah, because obviously I came from overseas, and I was still kind of, like, jet-lagged, and, you know, I was going to go home, and then some people said, oh, why don't we hang out, and these people from Virginia and from, like, parts of Connecticut.
Yeah, you can't disappoint people like that. The people come from miles around, and you can't just leave.
Right. That's true. We went to, the Hack Manhattan, you know, and then they wanted to know where the Hotel Pennsylvania was, and, you know, I wanted me to show them where the Hotel Pennsylvania was.
In our memories, but yes, the hole in the ground is on 33rd Street and 7th Avenue.
Yeah, I showed them where it was, and stayed till 3 o'clock in the morning, and then,
Somebody has video of the march with Johannes giving the sermon and all that, because that was some priceless stuff, and I was just too frenzied to coordinate videotaping it.
You go home so late, and, you got to get up the next morning early, because, you know, you don't want to miss the tour. Well, I missed one of the tours I wanted to see, because I woke up a little late, like 10 o'clock in the morning, but to come back. And
well, maybe share a room with some people next time, and you won't miss anything.
Well, why would I do that? I live in New York City, so why?
You live in Queens, don't you? It's far away. I mean, we spent the last few years establishing that.
Yeah, the thing is about Manhattan, you know, it's great to be in Manhattan, but, what I liked about Queens was, you know, it's not crowded. You're in, like, the middle of, you know, a college campus. No crowd. You know, you step out of the hotel, there's people going all over and bicycles and racing past.
Yeah, New York City. That's what it's all about. I know.
Yes.
But, you know, 3 days a year, it's something that I think is worth doing, if you can.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rebel, we're going to move on. There's other people waiting. But thank you. I'm glad you were there. And we will look forward to seeing you next time.
All right.
Take care. 802-321-4225. What are your memories of Hope? What are your feelings about Hope? Suggestions? Thoughts? Gila?
So, to answer a question that Rebel had, we live in New York, but staying at the hotel was such a good idea.
Yeah.
Because if you were overstimulated and needed to take 10 minutes away from everybody, you didn't have to leave the whole thing. You could just go upstairs and you talk to people in the elevator and then you come back, and it was all right there and so easy and so nice. And That's why you stay in the hotel.
Mm-hmm. And I love their elevator system. I really do.
Yes.
They have two different types of elevators. One that they're like the local. It's like mm-hmm. switching from the from the one train to the two train. One goes local to 20, and one goes from the lobby to 21 and beyond. And if you want to go from the lobby, if you want to go from where we were on the second floor, you either have to go down to the lobby and switch to one of the express elevators, or go up to 20 and just walk across there and continue your journey upwards. And I didn't know about the 20th floor transfer until a couple days in.
No, I did that on Saturday afternoon. We were going mm-hmm. to Gramercy.
Yeah.
And I took the elevator from our floor to 20 to 3. It was brilliantly simple.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what elevators I took.
No, there's all kinds of other elevators.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Well, we had to. We had to move all kinds of things. But the building people were amazing, very helpful, very friendly. And we have no phone calls. 802-321-4225. Have we talked each other into sleep or something?
Well, I will say, now that the event is over, I had a stack of about 120 3.5-inch floppy disks different colors.
And if anybody has found those, you must return them to Rob. He is livid.
No. I left those out there for people to have and for people to enjoy. And there is data on them. So if you're able to read a 3.5-inch floppy disk and you have one from Hope, take a look at what's on there. It's some fun stuff. Nothing, I think, malicious or damaging, but just some good stuff, some stuff related to the conference. I don't want to say too much about it.
How did you put data onto a 3.5-inch floppy disk?
Well, I'll give some general things that I did. There are graphics on there, pictures, but they're in 16-color EGA, like you would have back in the days of floppy disks. So they're very small files that you can still see some interesting things in. There's a lot of text files, mm-hmm. Some HTML, and a little bit of tiny pieces of software from long ago that folks might enjoy the opportunity to play with a little bit.
Is this something that you got already filled with data, or were you able to put the data on yourself?
It's data that I curated to fit on a double-density floppy disk, and I duped all these out myself.
You have a machine that can talk to 3.5-inch floppy disks.
Yes, it's a floppy drive, a USB 3.5-inch floppy drive.
I see.
There are ones that you can get that are made recently, but I had no luck with those. So I found one that was old stock and from the early days of USB and the later days of floppies. So it's an interesting animal, this drive. And I was able to dupe out a nice big pile of disks and put some fun stuff on there for folks who might be interested in such things and lucky enough to have snagged a disk.
I do have a question for you, though.
Yes.
Did you leave one in the bathroom?
I did leave one in the bathroom. It's in that place where, in fact, I put that thing that time. And also, almost everyone who performed at Hackers Got Talent, I had a small stack there, and so a lot of people who performed there got one as well.
I have a pile of old floppies, 3.5-inch, and almost all of them don't read anything. And I'm wondering if it might be the quality of the drive, and if you might have found a better quality, I might give them a try again before giving up.
It might be, because I know definitely as our friend Jason Scott often talks about, it's sometimes you just get lucky with the combination of media and equipment, and sometimes a thing that just won't read on one thing will do fine in another.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to have happen. Go ahead, Alex.
So Rob, I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. Did you say you left a bag of discs in the bathroom?
I left one floppy disk in the bathroom.
Okay, gotcha. Interesting. Gotcha. Just wanted to clarify.
Yes, in that place where I put that thing.
Quoting Hackers multiple times doesn't make it any more obvious. But in fact, Rinaldi said that quote on stage, I think. So mm-hmm. it's near and dear to all of our hearts.
From the film on stage.
Absolutely. Okay, we have no calls, so either we get a call in the next couple of minutes, or we're going to call it a night, because we're still wiped, and it's going to take a while. 802-321-4225, country code 1, of course. We'll give you a couple of minutes.
Indeed. You know, if you'd like to tell us about the conference, about your experiences at past hopes or your hopes for future hopes, we're definitely interested in hearing about all of that. Another shout for just the space and how good it was for us. One thing I really appreciated was everything was close together. Like, the entire conference was in its own little area. There were multiple floors, but still, you were right up or down a flight of stairs from pretty much anywhere you needed to be. Mm-hmm. The speaker rooms, the vendor area, the workshops, it was all very close together. There was none of the, you know, hotel pen things were on sometimes three or four floors at once, and you had to run from one to the other. St. John's things were in different buildings.
You do realize we have no control over that. You know, the rooms are where the rooms are, the buildings are where the buildings are, and yeah, yes. I agree. It's good to have them close to each other, but yeah, we've gotten mail from people saying, can you make the workshop room bigger? And, you know, I'd love to be able to do that, but it would probably incur a bill if I knocked down a wall, which is the only way we can pull that off.
Yeah.
Do you need your sledgehammer to make that happen?
I don't think there's more rooms that we can just migrate to. There might be possibilities for some expansion in some ways, but it's right now it's in the dream stage.
Excellent. But yeah, I think we lucked out with what we got. And I think a lot of people, I was hearing very nice feedback about the space from people who I was speaking with, just in terms of the vibe and in terms of how good it was for our needs.
Yeah, and I'm really happy that people treated each other with kindness, patience, whatnot. We're not the easiest people in the world to deal with, I know that. Sometimes just, you know, feeling like we belong is all we need to be a lot more comfortable, and that's so important. It's easy to find things to disagree with. It's easy to, you know, be impatient. I think we did a lot better than most of the rest of the world this weekend. So I'm just happy and proud about that, and I hope that that's a tradition we can continue.
Yeah. Good stuff.
All right. We did not get a phone call. I don't know why. I guess maybe people are wiped or something. That's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. We just heard from Rebel. That's interesting. I have 30 more seconds. How's that?
Okay. Well, in that 30 seconds, I'll also shout out a guy called Strick, who reintroduced me to a very old childhood friend at the conference up in the workshop area. He had a TRS-80 Color Computer 2, which was my very first computer in my childhood, and
I hadn't seen one in years. That's the friend.
The computer was the friend. Wow. Not Strick. Strick is a friend, too, but I met him more recently. He is a really swell guy. He's involved in the scene of people who still use and hack and enjoy these things. He came up with an awesome little breakout board that vastly expands the capabilities of the old machine, and he had it running and demonstrating stuff that you couldn't have dreamed of doing with the thing back then, but it's with the original hardware, and it was just a lot of fun to get to see one, and I took a picture with it.
Getting to watch you reunite with your old friend Coco was wonderful.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, we are out of time, out of patience, out of energy, and we're going to go back to sleep. So we'll continue trying to get the videos online as quickly as possible. We just got to make them, in good condition, somewhat organized. Write to us, oth@2600.com. If you have feedback on the conference and you were at the conference, please do so. feedback@hope.net. Any final words from everybody?
It's nice to be back talking to everybody, getting to see you guys for more than, 2 seconds at a time, and nice to see the van.
Oh, the van is here on the picture thing. Okay.
Yes.
Because the van didn't make it into the city.
I know. Tonight it's nice to see the van.
It's a good thing the van didn't make it into the city because that would have driven me over the edge, I think. I had to drive a big truck. And driving a big truck in Manhattan, it's fun. It really is. But you have to really be alert and you have to really be patient. I guess Hope was good training for that, leaving the city. That's how we get a lot of our equipment back and forth. So it's really an experience. I do recommend it.
Remember, it's not a series of tubes. It's a big truck.
No.
Yeah, don't discount yourself. You, you're doing a lot of the logistical lifting with myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
We're a big team effort, and everybody's kind of out there on the field, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody did a great job.
And stayed safe. I was really, that's, you know, you don't want nightmares in the back of your head, but just looking out for one another and moving quickly, but not too quickly. So we definitely want to make sure everybody has a good time and there are no accidents and stuff.
Thanks to all our vendors, sponsors, volunteers, attendees, people who just spread the word around. Couldn't have done it without all of you. It's just, it was amazing.
Word of mouth.
Yes.
Word of mouth. Imagine that.
And we'll figure out a name for the next one and move ahead. All right. Good night, everyone.